This is a podcast version of the rather regular monthly article, The First Time, written and presented by me, Dr. Joe Scott Jones. The First Time is a series of articles designed to help people new to general practice deal with some of the challenges and to refresh old ideas in old codgers like me. This time, we're talking about making more money through increasing your income. We live in interesting times. The government keep telling us there is no more money. There has been a very tiny increase in capitation proposed for 2015, along with an uncontestable fees increase of 1.4% for non-VLCA practices. It's making it harder and harder to make general practice business sustainable. We've focused on this problem previously, looking at increasing income through expanding patient numbers and decreasing costs through reducing staff and tightening budgets. Finally on this, I want to talk about increasing your income. Number one, diversify yourself. Whether you're salaried or an owner of a practice, there are many opportunities to increase your income independently of your main employment, if you're prepared to work. Some health governance jobs attract a stipend. Undergraduate teaching or writing articles for New Zealand Doctor can provide opportunities. Look out for adverts in the New Zealand Doctor, the Journal of Primary Healthcare or the New Zealand Medical Journal, and local health newsletters for these extra roles. Consider doing locums. A rural roving locum job could make a nice working holiday and expand your skills base for daily practice. Some accident and emergency clinics need occasional shifts covered. Look for part-time work in DHB roles. Ask at your local hospital emergency department. Offer to help out on the community mental health on-call roster, for example. My dad said never volunteer for anything, and I'm slowly understanding why. None of these roles will pay very much, but every little helps. If you're offered a role or a chance to contribute to the development of health services in your area through a working group or an alliance team, for example, ask about the payment. Value your time appropriately. Management consultants charge around $200 an hour and $2,000 a day, and they don't have your healthcare experience. Don't undersell yourself. Number two, diversify your practice. Offering specialist services through general practice can be lucrative, especially if you benchmark your fees against other local private services. You're allowed to charge whatever you like for services that are not ordinary general medical services. Clearly, it's vital to fully inform patients before performing any such service, and first you save yourself. Remember, fully informed does mean that if there's a free public hospital option, patients need to be made aware of it. But often they will be prepared to pay for minor surgery, appearance medicine procedures, and joint injections. Completing insurance forms and driving medicals are also considered outside general medical services. If in doubt, check what you can charge for with your PHO. And number three, always charge as much as you can. If you are a very low-cost access practice and not charging the maximum allowable fees, $17.50 for adults, $12 for people aged 13 to 18, then stop. If you're discounting your services at all, stop. You know, the harsh reality is that primary care healthcare is not a charitable service, and it's not possible to survive without charging people unless you have other sources of income. And if you do, that's absolutely brilliant. I would be the first to love to see the introduction of a free at the point of care service for people in New Zealand. But that's just not the system that we're working in. We all know that other people providing services, accountants, lawyers, builders and plumbers, charge per item bills to customers. And yet many of us shy away from doing this in our practices. An ordinary consultation in my practice lasts 15 minutes. People can ask for a long consultation and they'll be charged for that time. But why don't I charge people who come in with a list and just gradually take up more time than I have allocated? Why don't I charge people for my time when I write reports for them or chase up outpatient appointments? Why don't I charge people per item when I perform a smear test or an ECG for the equipment that I use? I think it's because I'm a bit shy about asking for money. And my philosophy of care is such that I believe I'm providing a service. I believe that people who are unwell need help, not bills, to add to their problems. But at some point, I've got to get real. If the tightening money situation continues as it is, the next step we're going to have to introduce into our practice is introducing these sorts of charges. So the take-home message? We are stardust, we are golden, we are billion-year-old carbon. So never undersell yourself. Well, that's it for this New Zealand Doctor podcast. Listen out for more on iTunes. Subscribe to the New Zealand Doctor magazine and follow me on Twitter @ApodiKichi.